You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Hello and welcome to the ATG podcast episode 2. I'm not going to say the episode for each and every single one, don't worry. But it's the second one, so let's have some fun with it. On my right, I have Mr. Jamie.
Howdy, Christoph.
Howdy, always a pleasure, my friend.
Same for me.
Yeah, and on my left, the one, the only, Alex Jones.
Hello.
Again, with the one word, hello.
So. How you doing?
He's not very good at these intros,
is
he?
Hold on, that's nice. You asked me how I'm doing. I'm doing very well because we are doing another podcast and that makes me very happy.
It's lovely to see you guys.
Yeah. So we've had quite a good response to our first podcast and we can only grow from here unless we do something savage.
Give us time.
Well, I don't know. Look at the channel. We can shrink.
Hey, yeah. Let's not go there. Right. So what have you guys been up to since the last recording of this podcast?
Thinking about games, talking about games, and occasionally playing games. I can carve out the time.
Can you believe it?
It's a really awkward time of year because it feels like all the really big AAA Q4 stuff, it's been and gone.
Known quantities.
Yeah. I've had my fill of Black Ops 4. I completed Assassin's Creed and Red Dead and Hitman, and I'm well on my way in Pokemon. So I'm trying to use the time as the winter months roll by.
Yeah.
To make a stew? No, I'm not making any stews. I'm not a big stew guy. Too wet.
Okay.
Too wet. Too much liquid.
Get a dumpling in there, mate.
Take the bits of meat out of the stew and give that to me with a bit of bread, a rustic piece of bread. Anyway, I can't be too sidetracked by stew. I have been trying to seek out some of the smaller, let's say, independent gems that I might have missed across the year.
Hell yeah!
Play a bit of them. We're talking, and I should warn you now, I haven't actually played any of these. I'm just looking at what I will be playing.
All right, let's see if we A, have heard of them, B, have played them, or C, give a damn
about
them.
Okay.
I've got a prediction. I will not have heard of any of them.
I bet you will. There are three things that I've got my eye on at the moment. I'll give you a clue for each of them.
All right.
One of them, a very cute platformer that made a splash very early on in the year and is still being talked about to this day.
Is it Celeste?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah.
Celeste on the Switch, which I think only costs about £16. So I thought, you know, why not jump in?
Yeah, sure.
Another one from our friend Lucas Pope of Papers, Please fame on the PC.
Yeah.
Also being talked about a lot.
Obra Dinn.
Return of the Obra Dinn. And this one, well, you're going to laugh at
I love
me for
I
this
love
last one.
Jonesy just nodding.
I've not heard of Return of the Obra Dinn.
Boys.
I'm like, meh. Celeste, I'm okay, but Obra Dinn, no.
You'll have heard of this last one, but you'll probably both disapprove of it.
Go on.
And the only reason I haven't bought it, I watched the trailer again last night. It's just a bit too expensive for what it is.
What is it?
It's the fucking Tetris effect.
I
want to play the Tetris effect.
Me too.
No, hold on. I think you can only play it if you have a PS VR. Because that is the only way to fly.
Funny you mention it.
Yeah?
I may well be getting a PLA Station VR headset for Christmas.
Beautiful.
Look, I'm still getting used to podcasting, okay?
All right, we'll forgive you this time.
Hey, I'm on board with the Tetris effect. I think you're bang on.
Yeah, I'm on board with that
as well. Thank you, Jonesy. Thank you, Chris.
Yeah, I think it's decent.
Great music.
It's a full price game.
£35
It's not full price.
£35.
Hey, it's
Tetris.
It's full enough of a price. Yeah, it's Tetris. Like, you can put as many fucking bright lights as you want on it. It's not £35 worth.
But hey, you're buying a bit of heritage, right? And they've also had to develop it and put it onto the platforms it's on. It's not like they've just recycled everything and it's no different from like old games. They've still got to pay for the work they've put in. So I'm on board.
Yeah,
and it's Tetris. Everyone wants to play Tetris,
right? And so I'm hoping by this time next week I'll be able to sit down and tell you guys about the time I spent with Tetris Effect. But in the meantime, I've really just been pushing on with Pokemon, which was a bit of a shit show in itself. But I don't know if I can bother to get in. Basically, Pokemon you still have to manually save, and my Switch crashed. Turned it on and it was just a black screen. It wasn't doing anything. I lost about 2 hours of progress.
But what happened? Did your battery die out?
No, the battery was fine. It was just a black screen that wasn't responding to anything. I couldn't go back to the menu. I couldn't put it to sleep or in standby.
Oh, weird.
So
I just had to hold down the power button for 12 seconds and the whole thing turned off.
Oh, hard reset.
That's a long time.
What a pain in the dick that was.
How long did that feel?
12 seconds of holding down a button honestly feels like 3 to 4 minutes.
Five. No, you don't need to count it up.
It's a long time.
So yeah, that was my week in gaming.
Okay, Jonesy, decent. what about you? It doesn't have to be gaming related, I guess. Just what have you been up to?
What, do you know what? I haven't had that much time for gaming because I've been doing a lot of DIY.
Oh, but, here we go. The DIY king over here.
Almost Tetris, because I've been chopping up wood and trying to make it fit different shapes into certain places. We're talking skirting. We're talking a bit of edging. Wow. The old
stairs. Do you put on a pair of safety goggles when you do it?
I've got glasses. So
Four eyes.
Here's a little thing. Here's a little aside, right? So I've been looking at other podcasts called ATG. and the main one that I can find is the Against the Grain podcast. Shout out. And they seem to be some kind of, I don't know.
Woodworking?
Yeah, woodworking.
I might have to subscribe.
Here's the question though, Chris. Have you actually listened to it to verify that it's not, in fact, Jonesy running his own woodworking podcast?
The answer to that is no.
I am not good. If any of my workings at home prove anything, it's that I'm not good enough to have a woodworking podcast.
Well, if you're using Tetris for the basis for your shape cut, and you're going to have some weird L blocks and Z blocks sticking out all over the place.
Okay. Absolutely.
All right, so yeah, so some DIY.
But I've been...
Life gets in the way of gaming sometimes.
I did do for the very first time, which was very fun, very brief.
Yeah.
I had my 2.5-year-old wanted to play Switch with me. I was playing Mario, so he wanted to be Cappy.
He came over, and so
he did a little...
Nice.
You know, took the two controllers off, did a little bit of two-player. So he was flying around as Cappy, but he's 2.5, so he had no idea what he was doing and got bored very quickly.
Hey, well, here's a top tip. If you get Mario Kart, there is a guided mode where... basically, like, it keeps the car on the track. It even pretty much steers the car for you as well.
So this was one of the whole aims when I got a Switch, right? Because my wife was kind of like, another console. So I sort of said,
love that voice. Yeah.
So and one of the selling points was, hey, look, my first console was a Super Nintendo. Me and my brother loved that to death.
Yeah.
I was like, I've got two kids, right? I'm like, their first console is going to be the Nintendo Switch. It's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because it's built for it, right? It's perfect. And my thinking was, there's not going to be another Nintendo out for probably like 4 to 5 years.
True.
So they're going to be the perfect age. They're both going to be like prime Switch age.
That is dad of the year material in my opinion.
And I've got to practice. I've got to make sure that I'm better than they'll be by the time they're six.
Yeah.
So, no chance. Your reaction times are already in the drain.
Exactly.
It can only get worse.
I also like that Jonesy's a bloke in his mid-30s who's still making PowerPoint presentations as to why he should be able to get a console at Christmas. Like we all used to when we were six. And we were like, this is how I'm going to convince mum and dad that I'm allowed a PlayStation 2.
I will not use it on the toilet for 2 hours in a go. Yeah. I will not.
This will actually make me better at homework. Because I told my mum that Civilization would make me better at history. I was lying, mum.
Just wanted to play some Civ.
Yeah.
Oh, it probably did by osmosis. You didn't even know.
Unless Gandhi really nuked the whole world, it made me no better at history at all.
Oh, man.
Maybe he did.
Well, look, from my side as well, I haven't really... I've just been playing some more Artifact. Not going to... You know, we spoke about it last week. We don't need to speak about it this week. But what
still enjoying it?
Yeah, it's good that you haven't fallen off at least.
No, it's really good and enjoyable. I will tell you one thing, right? That I was telling...
Because I didn't think you'd stick with it. I thought you were a little
why not?
You were a little bit lukewarm on it.
No, I really enjoyed it. I just want to show off my Dota boner too much, all right? So, you know, people have been...
So not this early.
You've got to ease them into it.
Yeah. Like, you don't show off your raging one on the first date, right? Like, you build up to it.
Podcast 3, we're getting the whole thing.
Oh, dear.
But, you know, really enjoying it. There's a lot of depth there in terms of strategy. I really like it. Obviously, there's going to be weeks where you and I, Jonesy, are not really going to have time to play games because of our families. Jamie is forever alone, so shout out to the Game Boy over
there. There's a difference between not having family and not liking your family.
Well, that's true.
I'm in the latter category, which means I get to ignore them most of the time.
Wow, okay. But I thought, if whatever comes to this, what we could do is just a little bit of future looking, right? Because this Friday, actually by the time that this podcast comes out, it would have been released already. But there's a game that I've been waiting for so many years. And it was actually like, my most anticipated game of 2016?
It was, yeah. At the video we made at the end of 2015. When the channel was like 3 months old.
Yeah, because it looked sweet as. And it is a little game called Below.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I forgot that was even a thing. Yeah.
Can you believe it's coming out on the 14th?
I feel like I've had a taste because I've played Octopath Traveler. At least I've had a bit of that visual, bit of that look.
Yeah.
I guess so. But yeah, so look.
Gorgeous looking. All I remember is it's a lovely looking game.
It was a good looking game back then. And then they obviously went away and then they almost like shelved it. I think the wording that they had was like shelved indefinitely. Right, but shelved indefinitely doesn't mean canned.
What was the reason behind the shelving?
I think because they were working on some other projects that, you know, they were getting paid to work on. So it was like instead of their own kind of thing, right?
Yep.
So they wanted to focus on that, and then I also think
you've got to pay the bills.
You've got to pay the bills, exactly, as we all know. But then they also, I think they just wanted to make a really good, you know, it's a game for themselves. They really wanted to put some polish on it, and the trailer that they released when they announced that, hey, it is actually fucking coming out finally. I can definitely notice the difference between the previous stuff and this, and it just looks so good. I can't wait to sink my teeth into it. But that brings up an interesting question for you guys, right?
Yes.
Like Christmas games. Hmm. I'm not necessarily talking about like games about Christmas or, you know, festive themes or whatever, but, you know, when it comes down to like that period between, say, Christmas and New Year's, you got the time off and you're just with family and friends, but you get annoyed with them and you're like, well, fuck you guys, I'm going, you know, lock myself in a room and play some games.
Strong.
What, you know, what games are you looking forward to playing as your Christmas games this year?
It's a good question. One that definitely stands out for me, and one of the benefits of the Switch as a console, is the fact that we haven't really had, I mean, I liked my 3DS to a certain extent, but I didn't take my 3DS around with me everywhere, and I didn't like playing it in certain scenarios.
Yeah.
The Switch is my excuse to ignore all of my family this Christmas. So my plan is on the 22nd, 23rd, whenever it is, I've got to pack my bags and get down there to go out and also buy Diablo 3 for the Nintendo Switch.
That is a great shout.
And every time my uncle decides that, you know, he's going
to... He wants to get a bit handsy with you.
Exactly. I'm going to run to my room, throw on Diablo 3, and that's what I'm going to put my time into. But the other thing about Christmas for me is also I usually get the family members who have a bit of a budget when it comes to buying presents. Because some of them are like, what if we do Secret Santa? And I was like, that's just your way of spending £5. You're tight, you know, fill in the blank there. So I usually go after the ones that do have a bit of a budget and get them to buy me the games that I didn't want to buy for myself.
Yeah, sure.
So this year it's going to be things like Just Cause 4.
Yeah.
And maybe Battlefield 5. Buy the games that I didn't want to spend my own money on. So usually the time between Christmas and New Year, and even a lot of January, is about, like, so for example, at the start of this January, I fucking blitzed the new Need for Speed game. It was shit. Right, yeah. I listened to podcasts, like, instead of listening to the game the whole way through.
That's such a good idea. I've never done that. I like the idea of doing that. You play in a driving game as well.
Yeah.
Because that's what I do when I'm driving my car.
Yeah, stick on a podcast or Spotify, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
What about you, Jonesy? Christmas games?
Do you know what? Jamie's hit the nail on the head. I tend to do the same thing. So it gets around Christmas time and I get, you know, it's like my mum will ask me, what do you want for Christmas?
Yeah.
A couple of other people will as well. And I usually just pick up a few titles or games that I haven't bought for myself because I wasn't going to necessarily. For me, it's become a bit of a thing actually to get the whatever COD game was coming out and then play that over Christmas.
Okay. But this year a bit different because obviously there's no single player campaign. So
it stitched me up.
Yeah.
Because the other thing is as well, we've done a bit of a thing where we go away for Christmas with the family, right, to somewhere quite secluded. And I like, take my PlayStation with me and exactly what Jamie said, I put it in a room out the way and then I'll go and play it when I'm a bit bored.
But you've got to be online now.
You've got to be online, so I can't do that.
But you do have a Switch, so, and that's like perfect portability, right?
Exactly. So the Switch is going to be coming with me. Despite what I've said before, I always was intending to play it at some point, but Smash Bros, I'm going to want to get my hands on.
Yeah, sure, yeah. We got to get a tournament going next year, right?
We do. We need to play that.
Yeah. Diablo 3, I think, as well, is a great shout.
Hey, I'll tell you what, like, why don't we all get Diablo 3 on Switch and just fucking meet up in a party? I don't know how they handle it online.
What if we do it on Christmas Day? Like on the afternoon the 25th?
That would be cool. That'd be
shut up, Mum. I'm playing Diablo with my friends. You wouldn't understand.
Yeah, I think that'll be what. Yeah, that'll be me as well. Some of those old titles. I'm trying to think of any other thing else I've missed out of the year. I don't.
Have any of you guys ever tried the thing that I've heard some people do to some success, but introducing Jackbox to your families?
Oh, right.
A couple times.
And talking about, hey, it's so accessible. You're going to pick it up and it'll be easy to understand. Just get your smartphone out, Nan. You know,
I've never tried it,
but I know some people who have done it.
Off the back of the first one that we did with the Jackbox Party Pack on our channel, I actually did exactly that. So I went home and said, hey, let's play this. and had a lot of fun with it. It was enjoyable.
You guys are lucky. I think so. My family here in London, my extended family, it would be a lot of work. a lot of hard work. I mean,
that pause was great.
Yeah, it's just
a lot of work.
I'm just looking into the future and I'm already crying.
Yeah, holding back the tears.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't do anything like that. But
did you bring your laptop?
Yeah.
Can you pitch up your laptop in the middle of a...
Could do, pitch up the laptop. I did it 1 year, like when StarCraft 2, when I was like heavy into that. And yeah, did some of that, which was quite fun. And then there was also like a MOBA on StarCraft 2's thing called City of Tempest. And that was a lot of fun, and I used to play that. But yeah, I don't know what I'd do now. I mean, like I said, I'm definitely going to get below, so that might be my Christmas game. We mentioned Diablo. I'd be keen on jumping on that with you guys.
I think we should do that.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Can I just, from Chris's anecdote, right, I love the idea that, imagine this is the Christmas table, right, and this is Chris's laptop. They're having a chat. They've only just finished eating. Chris is like, yeah, totally.
All on board.
Stop playing. No intention of engaging.
Spilling gravy on the keyboard.
During the meal.
Would
you like some mash?
Immediately after the crackers.
Yeah. Get mash, did you say?
Mash.
Do you get mash at your Christmas dinner?
I actually don't recall what we get. Yeah, I think so. Or maybe it's like a sweet potato mash or something.
Can I come round? My mum is obsessed with roast potatoes.
I'm not a big roast potato guy.
And she always
does
them in goose fat, and then she has to tell everyone that they're done in goose fat. But what is it about goose fat that means that you're required to tell everyone that it's goose fat?
One time of the year that you get out goose fat as well.
Yeah, exactly.
I just want everyone to know that these roast potatoes were cooked in goose fat? Yeah. Fat from a goose?
I'll tell you what, right? If we ever hit like a subscriber milestone during the festive season, then we should do like a live stream of us doing like a Christmas lunch.
Mukbang. Oh. That will get us into YouTube Rewind.
What did you call it? A mukbang?
Yeah. Mukbang. It's like when the Koreans and Japanese folk sit there and all... No, it's a serious thing.
Oh, that.
That when they just sit there and eat. Mukbang.
Mukbang. I thought you said mutt.
I'm not being racially insensitive.
Yeah, I was like,
Dog bestiality. That means something very different. She's rolling her eyes hard right now.
Yeah. Jesus. All right, guys. Okay. So we know what we're doing for Christmas. All right, it's going to be a Diablo fest. Let's move on.
And I'm going to tell my mum to start making mash. That's for sure.
Hell yeah!
You could make the mash yourself.
Put it in the microwave. Ultimate mash from Marks and Spencer.
Smash, you say?
No, smash
for Christmas.
Oh
no,
man, we always used to have smash at like scouts when we go like camping and stuff.
I would genuinely love to do like a podcast while we're eating roast dinner with you.
I don't think the listeners would like that. We're already slurping and burping enough as it is.
To be fair, the edit would be a horrendous, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Hey, podcasts, minimal editing, if any. All right, guys, look, let's go on to our news story section, all right? We did it last week and it was pretty good. You know, we got some nice insight into certain things going on. So, Jonesy, why don't you hit us up with whatever news item you want to discuss today?
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Okay, so I'm going to have to be horrendously rude and get my phone out at a table, which I know people hate.
Oh, great.
I'm going to do that too. So, solidarity, Jonesy.
It is underneath me, which is easily accessible. Right.
I'm going to ask what it's doing underneath you, but there we go.
I put it down there.
Set it to vibrate.
So I wasn't tempted to use it, but I'm now using it.
Set it to vibrate and finish yourself off and end the movie.
Ali G in the house.
Hell yeah.
Also, Chris, you'll notice that while I also have my phone out, mine is unlocked and on the page I need it to be on because I come prepared for
podcasting. You are
mine was, but it's actually now managed to close itself.
I reckon Jonesy doesn't even remember what his news story is.
Oh, I can tell you what my news story was without
that. Might be an idea.
Whilst I'm looking at it, whilst I'm trying to find it.
All right, now hold on. Why don't you just find it? And Jamie, why don't you give us yours to begin with then?
I will start things off. I want to start off with something a little bit controversial.
Oh,
that has got people
the best way to start
up in arms. Well, depending on how much you cared in the first place.
Okay.
So you remember a couple of weeks ago,
yeah,
a trailer dropped for Detective Pikachu.
Yes, yeah.
And while we were all a little bit taken aback at first at what their interpretation of what Pokemon looked like,
well, especially
in a real world, exactly.
What the hell was that?
But
nightmare.
The consensus was that while some of them did look like nightmares, it was actually an okay interpretation for what a Pokemon might look like.
I thought so.
I think a lot of people kind of warmed to it, yeah.
Okay. Flash forward a few weeks.
Yeah, I know where this is going.
And we have had, a poster has dropped. A motion poster, in fact.
Oh.
For a film not due out, in fact, until the end of 2019.
Okay.
I'm, of course, talking about Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh. Ugh.
Now, I'm not going to suggest that a Sonic the Hedgehog movie starring Jim Carrey was going to be a slam dunk anyway.
Slam dunk.
Okay, not the easiest of things to pitch, to film, to promote, to anything, other than the fact that you've got endless amounts of weird anime, furry, Sonic nut jobs on Twitter who will watch anything you put out.
Yeah.
But somehow, through this one poster, they have managed to exceed all expectations for just how shit this thing could possibly be, purely through a silhouette of Sonic alone. Now, if you haven't seen this thing, it's worth looking up, open another tab or something, get this poster up, because it is literally just a silhouette of Sonic.
Yeah.
You know, on one knee, almost in a starting position, like he's ready to to
race,
go fast.
Run?
As something.
By any chance?
Got to go fast, yeah.
He looks disfigured. Sonic is meant to have slim, slight limbs, arms and legs. This guy is fucking jacked. This is the most jacked version of Sonic in the world. He has got fur all over. He doesn't appear to be wearing gloves. There's even another poster of him from a first-person perspective, sitting on a bridge, dangling his legs off the edge. He's got these thick, fat, furry legs.
And that was I think that one was worse than the silhouette one. So the silhouette one, obviously, his body and his pose looks mangled. But that poster on top of that bridge.
The legs one is terrible.
Oh, it's like, what is going on? Did they think it was a good idea to have a dick POV, like a Sonic dick POV between his legs?
It was like a horror version of when people do hot dogs or legs.
Hot dogs or legs.
It was pretty disgusting. It did not look good at all.
It looked like they went on DeviantArt and looked at all the artistic interpretations that people who want to fuck Sonic have drawn and said, what if we based our Sonic around one of the ones that people wanted to fuck? This big werewolf looking blue furry motherfucker without gloves.
But it's,
it is kind of weird. Yeah,
it's a similar sort of thing to what you were referencing about the how Pokemon, you know, how they look.
Yeah,
in that, but you get the same problem with this, right? In, like you were saying, because you, how do you take Sonic, who's a solid blue kind of implied fur through the way he's drawn?
Yep.
But with, like you said, with the Pokemon, they've done a really good job of sort of marrying those
exactly
in the real world. But somehow with Sonic, they've decided to go too human.
Yeah.
Because that you can see the hairs.
I'm not going to be so bold as to suggest that it's an easy task to take a character from a comic or a video game or you name it,
yeah,
and translate that into something that would work for a motion picture. But this is so far flung from what Sonic is and should be and should remain that I don't know how they've managed to fuck it up this badly.
But doesn't that...
It's a monstrosity.
Doesn't that kind of beg the question, like, why do it in the first place? It was always going to be hard to make this not look like a fucking...
Yeah. Because you want
the Elephant Man version of Sonic.
And my God, if you want a laugh, just scroll through the IMDb page for this movie. Because not only does it look like a monstrosity, the poster itself, rather than advertising, you know, Sonic, arguably the second most recognizable video game mascot in history, behind only Mario, they've put at the top of it, from the producer of The Fast and the Furious. Like, that's the thing that's going to make people...
Oh, yeah, I love those films.
Also, wasn't The Fast and the Furious the really shit fourth one?
Yeah, yes. I think it was, yeah.
And then you look at the cast. You've got James Marsden as... I don't even know who he's playing.
Okay, I know I'm just confused, because Marsden, of course, from Red Dead, but who is James Marsden?
James Marsden is Cyclops.
Cyclops from X-Men.
Cyclops.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And the other thing I'll note...
Well, it's because, like, what else has he been in? Like, he's got to pay the bill somehow.
Exactly. And Sonic apparently is paying the bills with his £90 million budget.
So who's the voice of Sonic? Is it Jim Carrey?
It's Ben Schwartz, who...
Ben Schwartz, oh my God.
...was in Parks and Recreation, for fans of that show.
Who is he playing that? Ben Schwartz, I can't
he
think
play,
of that guy.
In Parks and Recreations, he plays Jean Ralphio.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And Jim Carrey is, of course, playing Dr. Ivo Robotnik, a.k.a. Eggman. The other thing this film has going for it is in the writing credits section of IMDb, already 8 names listed. Which can only be a good thing in Hollywood terms.
Yeah, wow.
So we
can all agree that's going to be a train smash, right?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Interestingly, I had a chat with someone the other day, and we were talking about... I just watched Bruce Almighty again, and all said, right.
You really are desperate for things to do, aren't you? It's DIY and Bruce Almighty.
Well, no, I it was on TV, and I was like, oh, I'll watch it. I thought, oh...
I'm going to take a break from my DIY to watch Bruce Almighty, sure.
He's going
to
come back on next week's podcast. What do you do, Jonesy? Well, I did a bit more DIY and watched Evan Almighty.
I'm not doing that. No, I'm not watching Evan Almighty.
Yeah, you
but
will.
But you know when something comes on the TV that you've seen loads of times, you think, oh, I'll watch it. Just
yeah, sure. I mean, yeah. We're busting your balls.
It made me think of that sort of period in Jim Carrey's career where he was like on top form. But it's been a long time since Jim Carrey was like good. It was good in a good film. So any film I see him in now, I'm like, oh, this is going to be goddamn terrible.
Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah. I think he lost his mind somewhere along the way.
Yeah, and now he's found it again, maybe.
Now he's found it again.
Not really. I mean, Sonic the Hedgehog.
So that's pretty much all I've got to say on Sonic. Okay. I feel like that poster speaks for itself.
All right, but yeah, I guess what do you guys think about the Sonic poster? Be sure to let us know. You can, you know, reach out on YouTube, on our Twitter.
Indeed.
Which is at All Time Gaming TV. Also our Facebook, which is All Time Gaming Official. So let us know what you think on Sonic's poster. So Jonesy, have you finally got your news item up?
I knew what my news item was, but I found the list I needed to accompany it.
All right.
So we often talk about the fact that Australia ban a lot of games that when we talk about
Australia,
games,
mate.
They often seem to be the country that we sort of go back to.
Yeah.
But this is about banning games or having games changed in order for them to sort of be sold in a country.
Cool.
But this isn't Australia, this is China this time.
Yes.
The big C.
The big C.
I've got a list.
Cancer?
No, that's the other big C.
Chinese
cancer.
China.
The big C squared.
China.
Anyway, this is a list of games, big games that have been either banned in China or they've been told that they have to change the games if they want them to be sold and played in China. So I just wanted to share some of these with you because they are big titles from big countries.
Why have they banned them? Are they just
There's a range of reasons. We can cover a few of them. Okay. So we'll pick out a few, right? So for example, if we go with the ones that have been banned completely first.
Right.
Should we start with those?
Yeah, sure.
Right, so you've got PUBG has been banned.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's withdrawn. A big one.
Fortnite.
Whoa. The biggest game in the world, Fortnite, PUBG as
banned.
Well. Both owned by Chinese companies. So
figure that one out.
Yeah.
H1Z1, banned.
Okay, sure. So all these Battle Royale kind of things, is that the reason? Because they just don't want to incite violence or something?
So specifically is because of blood and gore and vulgar content. So I think generally speaking is too much violence.
Blood
too
and gore
killing.
And vulgar content, they're banned. This is sounding like YouTube.
Also, there's no blood and gore in Fortnite. I don't know what they've seen there.
But I think the blood and gore and the vulgar content is generally things like people murdering other people, I'd imagine.
Fair.
So even though it's not sort of...
Wow.
From the country that introduced the one-shard policy.
All right, let's not go the politics route. We've got a couple other here. So Paladins, no one cares. Ring of Elysium.
Never heard of it.
Knives Out and Quantum Matrix, they've all been banned.
All right, so Knives Out, we featured in one of the biggest games you've never heard of. I think it was massive in China.
I think they're all Battle Royales because that Rings of Elysium one is also a Battle Royale.
Yeah, and Paladins
game.
Was a Battle Royale as well. Yeah. Okay, so they're gunning after the Battle Royale
thing. So those are the prohibited or withdrawn titles, right?
And you know what the thing is? Like, China is such a massive market for these games. Like, fine, you know, Fortnite being the biggest game in the world, like, it'll do fine. But some, like, taking, like, the biggest chunk maybe of, like, let's say, I don't know, Paladins or Knives Out, we know it's really popular there. Like,
yeah.
Getting rid of it from that country and it's like, that's
like... That many players, that many people. I mean, you want it to work.
Yeah,
there,
like,
right?
Imagine if YouTube came to us and said, oh, yeah, by the way, any viewership that you've had from the United States, nah, you're done. You're not getting any more views
off.
From the US. It's you know, Trump has said no more YouTube.
Can't get through the wall.
Yeah, so we'd be fucked.
I must say that so that's prohibited or withdrawn. So they might have been withdrawn by the makers. So they may have gone to Epic and said, "Hey guys, you need to fix Fortnite."
So maybe they've
gone,
withdrawn
nah.
it.
We're not going to mess with it. We don't care that much. So we'll withdraw it.
Okay.
I'm not sure whether which ones.
Or maybe
are
they've withdrawn it in order to try and figure out how to fix it to bring it back in.
No, because there's a list of this list also has a list of games that are going to have corrective action.
Right. Okay.
Which so they're going to be
corrective
fixed.
Action.
So they're going to be changed so that they
also
can be
sounds
sold
like very Chinese
played.
Terminology.
Yeah.
It does.
These
I'm not
games
sure, yeah.
require corrective action.
I'm not sure exactly who wrote corrective action, but this is from this Reddit
corrective
article.
Action.
So the ones that have been that need corrective action are Arena of Valor, League of Legends, Overwatch, Diablo, World of Warcraft.
World of Warcraft, which is massive in. I am quite like surprised.
And Overwatch and League of Legends also both massive in China.
Yeah. So they're the biggest ones.
So a lot of MOBAs and kind of like arena shooters. So like interesting.
So
these are all online.
They're all online. This is listed.
And they are
all online.
Amongst the biggest games in the world right now.
My favorite reason though why a game that needs to be sorted out that they've included here is inharmonious chat rooms.
Oh my god!
So they need to be tweaked.
That's such a Chinese way of saying like your yeah. chats are shit, mate.
Yeah. I like that. I like that as a description.
And how do you combat that? Do you make more words censored? Do you hire more moderators?
Like, yeah. What is a harmonious chat?
Or maybe you don't allow it. Maybe it's only emotes and certain bits of text that you're allowed to send to people. Maybe. You're allowed to engage.
On Rocket League, when everyone's just saying like "good luck" or "well played" at the end of every match.
That's crazy.
Yes, you can't actually say what you want to say. But wow. I thought that was a great list, and especially of reasons why they've been banned.
Right. So All Time Gaming would definitely be banned in China. Then, sure.
Inharmonious chat.
Yeah, every one of our comment sections is an inharmonious chat room.
But hey,
okay,
we wouldn't change.
Not for China.
If it was big enough. Yeah.
Get that on a t-shirt.
Not for China. All right, guys. Well, can I get on to my news item?
Let's do it.
It's a bit of a juicy one, right?
Ooh.
CSGO, Counter-Strike Global Offensive, have released a Danger Zone mode, which is basically like Battle Royale.
Of course.
All right. Now, I haven't played it yet, but as part of this, they've also gone free to play.
Mm-hmm.
A smart move.
Yeah. Yeah, and like it really has picked up their concurrent users, etc. But I've been watching some
Do you know one user they're going to get by going free to play? This guy.
I'm not going anywhere near it.
No.
I'll have a go. I'm
all over it.
It's too hardcore. It's like telling me the college down the road has got a free course in advanced algebra. So it could be free as long as it wants.
Look, because
I think with a new mode, though, I think it's doable. I mean, yeah. I'm not going to get involved with any of the existing modes because, you're right.
Yeah.
I'm going to get murked in 2 seconds.
But look, I mean, when we started off on PUBG, you and I played it a couple of times. Like, we did okay.
We did
not great, but if we'd stuck at it, I reckon we could have bossed it.
Done a bit better, yeah.
And like, if Jonesy and I play it, you're not going to join us?
Counter-Strike shooting mechanics are Counter-Strike shooting mechanics.
But Battle Royale.
But can I tell you?
Framing as a Battle Royale doesn't make it any easier to shoot someone in the head before they shoot you in the head.
I'm assuming a bigger map and a different way of playing, so, you can maybe game it a little bit. You're not going to know people are running those specific routes to get to certain areas.
So, guys, look, I was watching some footage of this, right? From the outset, it doesn't look like bigger maps. Like,
okay. I'm out.
But no. It's actually really smart what they've done. So, it's very different, and it's almost like the map is divided into like hexagonal areas.
Okay.
Yeah. And then those hexagonal areas kind of close in. So it's not like a concentric circle that's kind of like, folding in on itself. It's just like different areas in the map get bombarded and then they get cut off. It looks really, really cool. Like, I think they're doing some really interesting stuff with it.
I'm really
interested in it. I think you and I should definitely jump on it.
I know. I'm up for it. I'm definitely up for it.
Hell yeah. But so, that isn't the only piece, okay? Obviously, any kind of thing with CSGO, you could always say like, okay, great, so esports, how is that going to kind of fit into it, right?
Yeah.
Because, PUBG have tried their hand at esports to kind of like average success, I guess. It's just a little bit hard to kind of like follow, but Counter-Strike has a very good esports following.
It does, but I feel like the people who play Counter-Strike competitively want to continue to play Counter-Strike competitively.
Yeah.
And I don't know if a Battle Royale mode has any sway on that, has any effect on it. Maybe I'm being too pessimistic. Maybe it's going to set the world on fire, and maybe the combination of this mode coming out and Counter-Strike Go going free to play will, be exactly what is needed for it to take off and become the next top thing. I just personally can't see it.
Yeah.
I think Counter-Strike is going to stay. It's going to keep it sort of the way it's seen, in, I think, by casual gamers and people like me, as a fairly inaccessible game in terms of the barriers to entry are quite high in terms of the standard of the other players you're going to be playing against, and I don't think that's going to change. Yeah.
I wonder how the matching works with regard, because obviously when you're going free to play, you're going to get a flood of new players who are going to get in.
I'm not entirely too clued up on how that's working.
I can imagine that if you've been playing CSGO for a long time and you know how that all works and you're really into it, and then you start playing a lot of these new players who kind of don't know what they're doing, even like you're going to be a lot better than them, but I wonder if that's really going to put people
off.
But
that's like us like jumping into, like if we had to jump into a match of Fortnite now, like we don't really play it. If we had to, we'd have the same issue actually.
Yeah.
But more for the existing players, is that something maybe that's going to annoy them because they don't want all these extra players?
If it's anything like it is with Call of Duty, playing Call of Duty on the 26th of December, if you've been playing it since release, for me that was always my favourite day of the year.
Oh, right.
Because you get a flood of every 12 or 13 year old that bought it for Christmas jumping online
awesome.
And you're thinking, hey, it's hunting season, baby.
Right. Fair enough.
So there's two other points I want to make on this, right? Like, so it's another, you can like bunny ears it, right? Like a new release from Valve, like after Artifact. So they are looking at you know,
they're making games again.
They're making games again, like Gabe said. But it's a battle royale, and it's kind of like this cash grab. And has that fad kind of started to, you know, wane, as it were?
I think it started to wane, but
still
again,
hella popular.
Yeah, the relevance of that waning when you are by far the biggest thing in the world. That's the what we're talking about. Yeah. And Fortnite, it doesn't matter if Fortnite's numbers level off or even start to dip. It's still got so far to fall before it's not the biggest thing in the world anymore that it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I guess so. Right. So the cool thing about this, right, is people have been playing the game, sure, but there's this, one of the maps has a room that you get into, and if you linger in that room for about 3 minutes, these computers start like making some noises that sound quite reminiscent of portal sounds.
Ooh.
Okay. And then there is some kind of like NATO phonetic alphabet going on that they'd like some creepy messages with a creepy voice going like, you know, like, was it like Oscar, whiskey, tango, blah, 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 right? So someone's taken all of these things, put it through some fucking geek nerd shit.
I think
like running it through some kind of like, what was I reading? Like GSM 7-bit encryption or something. Like, all right, fine. But what it spits out, and I actually don't have it written down anywhere because I'm an idiot, but it's basically a message that was the first line of the song at the end of Portal.
Right.
Right, where it's like... this
you can
is
see a, where this is going.
Yeah, it's like, this is a triumph for great success. So everyone was thinking, oh shit, does this mean, is this like a Portal tease? Like Portal 3, maybe?
No.
Okay, well...
it's so complicated.
No, but you see, this is the thing, because Portal 2 was... like introduced to the world through an ARG, an alternate reality game, right?
Yes.
And they're saying, is this the start of another ARG? Now, in the meantime, someone emailed Gabe.
Just had his email, thought they might as well.
Like everyone knows his email. It's Gaben at Gaben Valve.
Oh, yeah. I did not know that.
Well, there we are. Jones is going to be...
Jones is this afternoon, emails. Typing away.
I've got my laptop here.
I've got an idea for a game.
Yeah, I've got a brilliant idea.
How do you
idea.
Feel about a European Union flag where you play as a...
This is an in-joke that no one gets in the wider world.
I love it anyway. But anyway, yeah, so someone emailed Gabe and was like, hey, Gabe, this new Portal Easter egg, is it the start of a new ARG? Now, first of all, you're an idiot for asking Gabe if he's never going to say yes, right?
Sure.
So, surprise, surprise, he said no. He said, just an Easter egg.
Right.
All right. But the speed at which it was found was like staggering. So I'm still kind of on the fence of whether it is or whether it isn't. I think definitely Gabe would not want to admit that it is a new ARG for something that'll eventually tease a potential for Portal 3.
Yeah.
Can they do that anymore? Like, this is one of the sort of sad things about the internet, right? You can't put things like really intricate Easter eggs and things into games and then think it's exciting that people are going to take a while to figure them out, because people will just go looking for them and find them in
data mining.
There's a lot of data mining going on, but I think
take some of the romance.
Well, it's a challenge, right? Because guess what, with the internet it makes it easier to kind of crack these ARGs, but that just means that the developers need to be a lot more sneaky about it, right?
It just means that I'm never going to be part of finding one.
No, but you don't have to be part of finding one, because, you know,
but
like,
maybe I want to.
Either you're into ARGs or you're not. But like, I think of Frog Fractions 2, which was hidden within Glitter Mitten Grove on Steam.
Cool. That was cool.
For like, I don't know, it was like minimum a year that no one found it.
See, that's cool.
Because
that's better.
But there
a
was,
year.
But there
I
was,
like that.
You see, but there was an ARG associated with it. But towards the end of the ARG, it was kind of like this big button. Like when people solve certain things, blah, blah, blah. I can't remember the exact details. But I remember that there's this like key and a button or something like that, right? So you do all these things in order. And eventually, the dude, forget his name, who made Frog Fractions, he presses the button. It's like, oh, that means that the game has been activated and released to the world.
Okay.
But he never said where it was.
Right.
So even though the ARG ended and the game got theoretically released, there was nothing technically to say that it was hidden within Glitter Mitten Grove.
Right, so everyone's like, well, where is it?
Yeah, and that's why I think like there was that long time in between.
Okay.
But eventually people found it. You know?
And that's cool.
That way of doing it is cool.
This way of doing it, though, I care for less. Because what I sometimes come back around to when we have stories like this, you know, this Portal Easter egg, is do you think that Portal 3 is in development somewhere in some way, shape, or form? I think the answer to that question is yes.
Yeah, I think so.
And if you think the answer to that question is yes, then what's the relevance of an Easter egg? If you think it's in production and it will come out eventually, who cares?
I guess it's a bit of fun.
Yeah. It will happen.
Yeah, but it's a bit of fun and it's a bit of hype. Are you saying who cares from like the player perspective?
People are like, oh, it's a portal Easter egg. It's going to happen. And then they reach out to Gabe and Gabe's like, no, it's not. And everyone's like, oh, they confirmed it's not an Easter egg. It's like, well, do you think it's in development, yes or no? And if the answer is yes, then just sit on your hands for another 2 years.
I would say if it was any other developer, you could argue that. But with Valve and their kind of like history with any game numbered 3, you kind of look and you're like, okay,
at some point that curse will be broken. It is unusual what's happened with Half-Life 3, Left 4 Dead 3, but at some point that will pass.
I agree with you. But don't you like the fact of like getting swept up in something that's kind of like almost bigger than yourself and buying into, I mean, it is hype, right? Buying into the hype and getting into it. Like, there's always something big about it. I mean, yeah, there's always that kind of like warning, like never get caught up in the hype of something, right?
Right.
But there is something to that excitement that like...
Absolutely.
And you know, like getting back onto the internet every day to see if someone has cracked something further on something. And, you know, there's like thrill of the hunt.
For me, this story wasn't that. For me, the story was one and done.
Well, you see,
there's a portal thing here.
The
people
reason,
found it the first day.
Sure. The reason I bring it up is because I think it may be the ARG and it's the start of something that could be actually pretty cool.
Yeah, for me, I just think it's more clickbait fodder for people like that Valve News Network or whatever it is. What's that channel?
Yeah, Valve News Network.
Yeah, who's been making videos about how
Tyler
close...
Tyler McVicker, shut
yeah,
up.
Yeah, making... videos about how close one of Half-Life 3 or Portal 3 is. But for the last 5 years, there's a new video every week.
So
this is why Portal 3 is coming out soon.
So if we title this, and it was probably my plan to title this, Valve announced Portal 3? You've just fucking guffed it for me, mate.
No, go for it. But everyone that clicked on a video called that and has got to this point, welcome. This is the reality of YouTube.
It also kind of means, though, that anything they include in any game, because it's going to be the start of a new ARG. You're like, well, why can't it just be an Easter egg? Why can't it just be a nice little nod to...
It may just be an Easter egg. It may just be a developer that really loved Portal and just put it in.
I like it. Maybe. I like that. I like it when developers do that. I don't think it needs to be the start of anything. It can just be its own little thing.
Do you know what I like? Completely unexpected E3 reveals.
That's what I like. This is Cyberpunk. Coming out. We have made stuff. You didn't know about it. That's
like,
cool.
Imagine if in 6 months' time, Portal 3's at E3. I'm just like, oh, yeah.
There was
that Easter egg in Counter-Strike six months ago.
Yeah, yeah, that would be
as
cool.
As opposed to, there was nothing, radio silence, and then it happened.
And then there's a build up, yeah. Yeah, I see that point as well. All right, look, let's move on from this, okay? We've had the news. Hope you guys enjoyed that little section. So let's talk about some comments, shall we?
Let's do it.
Always a
what
fun
people been saying.
Time. All right, so let's have a look here. Madman20 asks, it would be awesome, or says rather, it would be awesome hearing your guys' opinions on the Game Awards this year and which games would have won and were you happy with the winners? Okay, and it was a sentiment that was echoed by Andrew Morris on Facebook. So thank you, Madman20 and Andrew Morris. What do you guys think? Game Awards. Some interesting stuff coming out of there.
I thought some of it was a bit of a given. I didn't, do you know what? I didn't think, I think you both called it. I wasn't too sure God of War would win Game of the Year. I thought that was an interesting one. Totally fair that it won. I mean, a great game. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I think I thought Red Dead would probably beat it to it, but then
that's not a bad assumption. Do you know what I mean? Like, it is. It's a game for a generation, right? Like, there's a lot going on in the game, but I think for a lot of it, when you're trying to be kind of impartial to the hype around games and who develops them and whatever, you almost got to look at it as okay, God of War won because it probably did more things right than it did wrong. Okay?
Sure.
And then you look at Red Dead, and some people think it's a flawless game, and you know, to many of them, sure it is. But at the end,
want to see a list about six things that it did wrong?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's it. You know, you look at the game and you think, okay, as great as it is, it maybe didn't do things as well as it did bad when put in comparison to God of War.
Yep.
Right.
I also think it was a little bit of a interesting, a way that so God of War won Game of the Year, but yeah. then all of the other little more intricate awards, the ones that everyone, like, you know, really big awards, Red Dead won. So
narrative. So what did it win? Narrative music, score,
best performance. And Roger Clark
100% deserved to win those.
Don't you think it's almost a weird thing whereby they kind of went, well done God of War, you got best game, go stand over there, now let's talk about how great Red Dead Redemption 2
I get
was.
What you mean.
It was an interesting way of also saying to both camps, you've both won almost.
I think that ties into what Chris was saying though about the flaws of Red Dead Redemption and how when you break it down to its individual components, it's hard not to praise the amount of time and work and obviously money that Rockstar put into the score, that the actors did in providing their performances and so on and so forth, you know, the visuals and the art direction and you name it. But a lot of the inherent flaws of Red Dead Redemption 2 come as you're playing it.
Yeah.
And that way it plays and the way the game reveals itself and the pace in which it rolls out. And that's what people got stuck on. And the only category that really encapsulates those frustrations and the people that didn't like that stuff is Game of the Year. Yeah. And there are going to be people who said, well, I can't pretend that Red Dead Redemption 2 is not the best looking game of the year, but I can tell you it's not my game of the year. Yeah. I think that's what happened.
Yeah.
I was only other thing I'll say is I was a little bit sad that I think I want to say Spider-Man only popped up twice in nominations. I think it did.
It didn't win anything. I don't think it did win anything.
Look, Jamie and I were talking about it like when Spider-Man came out actually. So before I had played it, but Jamie had played it, and we're just kind of discussing it in comparison to God of War. And one thing that really stuck out to me was Jamie, you said, you know, God of War is very much a future-looking game. It's like it's doing new things, exciting things that, you know, a lot of games in the future will kind of emulate. So, hey, the behind-the-shoulder thing and just kind of the camera never moving away from you and no loading and an emphasis on, like, two characters with a fantastic AI system, right?
You guys even were telling me about how the menu originally was supposed to be...
On the axe.
On the axe. Yeah. Or the skill tree was going to be on the axe.
And I mean, that's stuff that could still come, like, further down the line.
So
right?
cool. Unfortunately, it didn't happen, but... Yeah.
But then you... What Jamie was saying is, I mean, I'm speaking for you here, but
I wonder
if you remember
this
conversation.
You're doing a perfect job.
He was saying, like, you look at a game like Spider-Man, and yes, it's great, it's fun, it's polished. You know, there's, like, hardly ever frame rate dips as you're going on, blah, blah, blah. It's a really fun game, it looks good, you know, all of that. And all of that is valid, but it's like, but it's a game almost stuck in the past. Not the far past, but more like 2 years ago.
Right.
This game could have been released 2 years ago and it would have been the exact same thing. It hasn't really moved the genre forward.
Sure.
Right? Mm-hmm. It's just a fun time. Could it have won an award or two? Sure. I mean,
it's kind of unfortunate.
Best swinging mechanics,
yeah.
Well, I mean, if it had come out, like, I can't remember what was in the Game Awards 2 years ago, but if it had come out 2 years ago, I mean, blimey, it might have won.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
I think one that I just wanted to mention because I've really enjoyed Spider-Man this year. I thought it was very good.
Yeah, I enjoyed it as well. Yeah.
I think that just as a sort of a closing note on the game awards themselves as opposed to, you know, who actually won them.
Yeah.
I think for all the jokes that can be made about Ninja and vaping and all that kind of stuff, the game awards for me represent a really delicate balancing act, right? Where Jeff Keighley needs to have the reveals that are gonna keep the viewers who aren't interested in the awards themselves watching. You know, he needs to have the advertisers that are going to pay for the whole thing. And at some point, he needs to make time to recognize the achievements of people within the games industry. And I think with each year, they've done consistently done a better and better job of balancing those elements to the point where you can come away from that. And you can, as we've just done, discuss the sort of God of War Red Dead Redemption 2 thing.
Yeah,
you can discuss all the reveals, or you can still have a joke about how cringe some of it is.
Yeah.
And in a winter where, you know, Sony won at Paris Games Week, the PlayStation experience didn't happen, XO18 was shit. You know, the Game Awards was kind of cool.
Yeah, and it's nice to see it kind of like becoming this really big calendar event.
Yeah.
Whereas like a couple of years ago, it's like, oh yeah, Game Awards, it's like a headline that you'd read. But now it's like, hey, you could stay up and you could watch it because you're interested. Not just in the reveals, but just all of it.
Were there any surprises for you guys? Was there anything you were surprised by?
I didn't know that Mortal Kombat 11 was going to be on stage.
Yeah.
You know, like that was a game we knew was coming. Mm. And even things like they didn't do anything with it, but to get Phil Spencer, Sean Layden, and Reggie Fils-Aimé on stage to stand together, even just to say a couple of words, like no one else in the industry is really doing that and using, you know, their contacts and the people they know to orchestrate these things. And you think about all of Jeff Keighley's other friendships that he didn't call in a favour on this year,
yeah.
You know, like Hideo Kojima being the obvious one, the Game Awards could have a big future as a sort of a calendar event definitely. That we look forward to.
It could be right up there with E3. Really, I do.
Yeah, for sure.
Like especially if the more people kind of like leave E3.
Yeah, exactly.
But okay, one last thing I wanted to speak about the Game Awards, right? In terms of, because Madman wanted to know, were we happy with the winners? There was one winner that Ooh. I was not happy about at all. And this is coming from a pure place of bias.
I'm trying to think if I could guess what it would...
Esports Team of the Year, Cloud9. Oh. Are you fucking kidding me? Are you kidding me? Do you know what OG went through to win the biggest esports title of the year? It is mental. Like, knowing their story, that is a Cinderella story and a half. And they give it to Cloud9.
Why? Okay, I know little about esports, as you well know. Why was that such
all
a
right.
travesty?
Okay, I'll try to rattle through this as quick as possible because I know you guys don't really like my Dota talk, all right?
I'm into it.
Okay. Chris's Dota Minute starts now.
Okay, so throughout the year, what Valve have been trying to do is do like minors and majors as a system of earning points to the ultimate goal of attending TI with the biggest prize pool in esports history.
Yep.
I think this year was something like 24 million.
It's a lot of money.
It's a big prize pool, okay? Anyway, so OG, they've won majors before. In fact, the first time that they had majors, they won like pretty much all the majors in that year, okay? But they've never had success at the international.
Sure.
Okay, so the international rolls around this year, and they're doing okay in the qualifiers. They're earning their points, and it seems like, okay, yeah, they probably could like get to TI, okay? Then one of the founders of the team, OG, all right, Fly, he decides, nah, it's not for me, and he fucking leaves.
I'm out.
He's out. He leaves, and he goes to Evil Geniuses,
yep.
who have won TI before.
Oh, and, he's and a glory hunter.
And they had a strong team. They got like some, you know, they got like Arteezy, you know, they got Sumail. They got really good players.
All the big boys. Yeah, all the big
boys. I'm going to pause you there and ask, do you think there's room for a category in next year's Game Awards for the shittest esports name?
Yes, I do. Okay, but so to rattle on, okay? So
we're a minute and a half into our Dota minute now.
So Fly left with like very little warning, okay? And he took with him this guy called S4. And S4 was like one of the best, like, what was he playing at the time? Offlane. With him, right? So they
are in a difficult position.
In a difficult position. So five team, all of a sudden, it's down to three. Okay? Now, because of any roster change, you automatically lose your qualifying points to the international.
Right.
So almost like without OG actually wanting to lose their points, they lost their points. So did Evil Geniuses.
For taking them. Sure.
Okay. So, but this was like, if I can remember, it's like a month or 2 months before TI. Okay. So they were in like in a mad scramble. They found another person. They had to go through open qualifiers just to attend. They did that. They beat like the European region.
This is starting to sound like the film Dodgeball. Isn't that what they did?
It is kind of like, yeah, it is kind of like Dodgeball, right? So they beat the European kind of like open qualifiers. They were the king of that. They get into it as the lowest seeded kind of like, all the betting places were like, these guys are going to come last. And they crawl their way up to the top and they fucking win the
whole
thing.
Do you know what? You've sold me. That's a good story, a good comeback story, and I love a comeback story.
What did Cloud9 do? I actually don't know what Cloud9 did. I'm just furious.
Let's assume they were
Extra Value Meals are back. For just $5, get a savory and sweet sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles, plus hash browns and a coffee. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
Just good. That's not fun.
Yeah, no. OG were good, and they crawled their way back. Fair anyway, play. That concludes our Dota esports minute and a half.
Roshin can come back in the room.
Three minutes.
Yeah, it's all right. Okay, let's move on to the next question, okay? Good old Paul Witcherly, a friend of the channel.
Oh, hello,
Shout
Paul.
Shout out, Paul.
Yeah, Paul Witcherly of The People Show on Identify Radio. Catch it.
Tune in.
Yeah, exactly. He wanted to know, with Mortal Kombat 11 due in a few months, how long can the series go on for? And is the MK series the last of the dinosaurs with its brutality not many other games would want to do?
It's a good question.
It is a good question.
Kind of a scary question because you don't really ever think about how long a series like that has got left. But at the same time, when you hear the number 11, like Final Fantasy is the only other real series through the history of games that has ever set a precedent for going that deep in the numbers.
Yeah.
Most of them try and find a way to start again or use weird subtitles. MK is just like, hey, this is the 11th one, motherfucker. Buy it.
Enjoy it.
But I think
it's not even the 11th one, because I've heard all those fucking weird ones.
True, they had all the weird offshoots and ones that weren't actually fighting games. I think the most blunt and honest answer I can give to this question is, for as long as people buy it.
Yeah.
It is, you know, the 11th mainline Mortal Kombat game. It still had a big slot at the Game Awards, which is a big show. Ed Boon is still a big personality within the games industry.
Yeah.
And for all intents and purposes, the reboot, MK9 and MKX a couple of years ago, seemed to sell pretty well.
Yeah. And I think it's tied in with the brutality of it, right? Like, it would never sell as well if it toned down the brutality.
No, I think they'd actually get a bit of a reaction from the fans if they did, because they'd be seen to be not selling out. I suppose it's not selling out, but they'd be seen to be doing it in order to maybe appeal to a slightly different audience, and people that are going to go there because of what it is are going to not be interested. Yeah.
But I think it brings up a very interesting point. And it's one thing that I've been thinking about in terms of game series for a lot, right? Do you think that all of these like numbered installments are going to fall out, and what's going to happen? Like, because eventually you're going to reach this kind of like saturation point in terms of graphics and gameplay where you can't really improve on it that much other than adding new fighters to the roster, whatever it may be.
Yeah, right.
So would it be a case that like the next Mortal Kombat after 11, so Mortal Kombat, whatever you want to call it, okay, that it becomes this almost games as a service? It's one game that'll probably free to play, and then it's that core base game that just gets built upon and built upon and built upon and built upon. So you're never really actually releasing another version of it. You're just constantly iterating and updating it.
I think it's a bit of the Hitman model, right? Because last year, was it Hitman came out, and then you had the episodic
2016,
then you've got Hitman, which came out
Hitman
this
2,
year.
Yeah.
And you can then install all of your Hitman missions from the 2016 one into this one. So they've kind of bridging that gap in some weird way anyway. And then I think that's kind of maybe a taste of what you're sort of talking about.
Mm. Yeah, because I was thinking, like, I actually started thinking about this with FIFA. Like, why are they releasing FIFA every year? Like as a buyable product.
Because there is over 20 years of history to suggest that people will pay another $60 year on year in their millions.
I get that.
And those numbers are going up.
But my point is this, like, yes, the numbers are going up, but if the game was made free to start off with, but obviously you need to be fair about it. You can't just like
you pay the 60 once, right?
Yeah, so
you
buy the FIFA launcher.
Yeah.
As an example. And then you've got FIFA almost in perpetuity. But then the way that they're making money, and they're making a lot of money, is like the packs and the Ultimate Team and all of that stuff. Like, that made a lot of sense to me, and I wonder like how many games are going to go that way. And the reason that I'm thinking this is because, you know, we touched on it in the last episode, but I've been playing Dota since 2012.
Mm.
It's gone through various iterations.
The patches and the other stuff.
And the reboots. Almost. They had this one campaign, one thing that they overhauled a lot of the game, and they just called it Dota 2 Reborn. Like, I can see more games going that way.
Oh, I can as well.
I'm not going to say it's not going to happen, but I think, like you said, hinted at with FIFA, I think the games that have been annualized, they're going to be the ones that have to lead the charge, right?
Yeah.
And prove that it is, that there's money to be made, exactly. Yeah. I look at something like Call of Duty. This is a weird year for Call of Duty because there's no campaign. But how do you break out a free-to-play Call of Duty game? Is it free to download? And then, you know, let's take Black Ops 4 as an example. Blackout mode is $10 and zombies is $20 and multiplayer is $20?
Yeah.
Or is it free and you can play the multiplayer and blackout, but only a certain specialist, and you have to... And then you also have to weigh up the thing of, say, when you sell a game for money, when you sell Black Ops 4, Activision know that 100% of their user base have been monetized.
Yeah.
In terms of additional transactions, the amount of that player base who spend money on in-game purchases and buy, you know, put money into the battle pass and things like that, what percentage is that? And I think that's a lot lower. And so I think you're then saying to yourself, where do you make more money?
Yeah.
When 100% of 20 million people spend $60, or when 1% of 100 million people spend 10, 20, 30.
Yeah.
If you design a game from a ground up, like Fortnite has been, to be free to play, you will make a fortune if it's successful. But I think it's such a hard business decision for companies like Activision and EA that have found that groove and have been doing what they're doing for so long to say, you know, that, you know, guaranteed 60 times 10 million that we make guaranteed every year. Let's say goodbye to that and hope that people spend money in the game.
Well, you see, interestingly enough, the reason why I had thought about this from FIFA is because I remember reading an article from whoever was head of EA at the time, probably the dude who's still there, whatever. I think
there was actually a change a couple of months ago, wasn't there?
Oh, right. Okay. Well, anyway. So, and they were talking that they would imagine that that is the future of FIFA.
I'm not going to say it's not going to be.
Yeah.
I
feel that as soon as they see that those numbers start wavering, because, you know, we're getting into a digital domain as well here, right?
Yeah.
So those numbers potentially could start waning. And as soon as they start wavering a bit, I think they're ready. And they've got to be ready, right? You have to have a contingency plan.
100%.
And I think that was what they were
100%.
I kind of see it maybe a little bit of a crossover with regard to something like GTA Online, right? Because GTA 5 sold, did very well when it sold, but then GTA Online has made an absolute fortune.
Yeah, it took it to the next level. Yes.
So if you kind of think of maybe games like FIFA like that, in rather than maybe packs and, you know, just running the risk and getting certain players and things, it's more like a persistent online thing where they're kind of changing it and they're making updates to the games and it's not just about packs. I mean, if they can make the money in the same way GTA
if they can, but I just worry for them that it's so hard to scale out like what the money, once you take away, like GTA 5 is a game that sold 100 million copies.
when you take out
100 million people willing to put down cold hard cash for a game and take that all away from Rockstar and then hope that the additional players they gain by making it free do spend money.
It's funny, actually.
Like, how many people are there that won't spend 60 but will take something for free and then spend 10, 20, 30?
I'd love to see as well the difference in how much it cost them to produce FIFA like 99 versus FIFA 2000. The difference in those games versus like a FIFA from 19 to 20. Because it might be that the jump in doesn't actually cost them much money to make because they're quite close together.
Yeah,
they're just tweaking graphics, whereas back in the day they were making massive changes.
Yeah, yeah.
The technology, the hardware was changing year on year.
It is all iterative anyway. All right, okay. Well, let's move on. I think we've exhausted that kind of thing. The Trickster wants to know, can my dad, and in brackets Jamie,
wow, okay,
join me for the raid next week Tuesday?
Next week, Tuesday. Well, first of all, the good news is I am free, the Trickster. I can make it out next week, Tuesday. I wish he'd specified which game we were raiding in.
Well, is it
the film, which mum? Also, which mum's he talking about, if you're his dad?
Well, I'd like to clarify for anyone worried out there. I don't, to my knowledge, I don't have any children out there that have gone unaccounted for.
Good.
Again, the Trickster has unfortunately not provided a name, but I like to think that if he is a son of mine, he'd have a very cool name. Like
The Trickster is his real name.
Yeah,
it's not.
That's what the kind of thing I do. Trickster McCulloch.
So, I wonder what. Yeah, what raid would it be, like a Destiny raid?
If he's inviting me on a Destiny 2 raid, then I'm 100% be there.
But yeah, get in touch.
I haven't played any of the what's the thing called, Forsaken. So my light level's a bit low, but if you boost me up, I'm there.
Okay, let's move on. We got one actually from Zach Jalab from
Zach
from Football Daily fame,
friend of the channel.
Hello. Yeah. He wants to know, when is the next generation of consoles coming out and will they make a significant leap forward? It's a good question.
It is a good question.
Can I give a one word?
Speculation time. What? No. the new generation of consoles
are
not coming out.
No, they are coming out, but will they make a significant leap forward? No.
No, I don't think they will either. I think what they will focus on is more social aspects of it, like we saw between the PS3 to the PS4. And I think we'll also see more stability. So we'll still have like HD and 4K.
Yeah.
Well, so when we say 2020
is our bet. Yeah.
This is PlayStation 5, next iteration of the Xbox.
Yeah. And the potential for them to be kind of revealed at some point next year, maybe, for a release in 2020. That's kind of what we're thinking at the moment. But yeah, no real significant leap. And you kind of touched on it earlier. No expectation for the Switch to go changing anytime soon. They'll obviously release like a Switch Lite or...
Well, they've got the Pro, right? Isn't there a Switch Pro coming out?
There might be.
There was speculation at some point there would be another model
next
soon.
Year,
yeah.
I think it might be.
Yeah, and that does fall in line with what Nintendo usually do. If you think of like the DS and the DSi or, you know, the DS Lite, whatever
but then
it is.
Ask me if I need a more powerful Switch. I'm fine.
Yeah,
with
the answer is no.
Yeah, the Switch isn't about the power.
Yeah.
And I think the other consoles have kind of shot themselves in the foot a little bit with the half-step generation we've had this year.
Yeah.
Because when the PlayStation 5 come and the next Xbox come out, if it is in 2020, based on, you know, where the hardware's at, it will still, by that point, be really impressive if, you know, big AAA games can run stably at native 4K.
Yeah, with HDR.
Yeah, that would be really impressive. But that was what they tried to sell the PlayStation 4 Pro and Xbox One X with.
Yeah.
Was this idea of 4K and HDR of the future. 4K and HDR will probably still be the hot ticket items in 2020.
Yeah. Maybe add in some ray tracing there for our boys at NVIDIA. So
I think what they really got to do is up the CPU side of things so that we can achieve more stable frame rates and in some cases, hopefully even faster frame rates. And of course, just this idea that if there is more for developers to play with, you know, no one's going to pretend that for as much as the PS4 and the Xbox One people are trying to have the conversation about, oh, we've already moved on to HD, will we notice the difference? No one's going to pretend a game that looked like God of War, Red Dead Redemption 2 could have existed on the PS3 and Xbox 360.
No.
Yeah.
So I hope that in 7-8 years' time, when we're mid-cycle on the PlayStation 5 and so on and so forth, we'll be able to say that again. I do hope for that.
Yeah.
I'd like to just give a shout out to VR and say that with all these consoles... consoles and TVs working sort of in synergy with each other to such good effect, then this sort of slightly shitty technologies like current standard of VR, surely they've got to develop and go somewhere. Because
you think they do have to go and develop better, especially with like Valve kind of throwing their weight behind it. Like, you know, like I keep on speculating, if some of the rumors are true about Half-Life VR, because what VR needs is that killer app, right? And you're releasing the most anticipated game ever.
Yeah,
on a VR platform. Hey, guess what? You've done a good job.
It also needs to not be like you're wearing a gas mask to sort of look quite a while.
I think they're screwed.
Yeah.
I think certainly in terms of the console iterations of VR, I think they're screwed.
Console iterations for sure.
Do you want to know why?
You're probably right, yeah.
PlayStation VR, cheapest it's ever been. Those things are flying off the shelves and landing in people's homes this Christmas. Yeah. I'm probably going to buy one this Christmas. In 2 years' time, there will be another console. Another PlayStation console.
Yeah, sure.
We presume.
Yeah.
We also therefore have to presume that the PlayStation VR headset in its current form will be in some way compatible with the PlayStation 5. They built the PlayStation VR headset and the bloody wands around the idea of the PlayStation camera and its ability to pick up light.
Yeah,
it's a bad system.
Yeah.
And they have to support it going into the next generation.
Do they?
That could last, I think so.
If they
make the PlayStation VR headset and the PlayStation Move wands obsolete in less than 2 years from today, that is a PR nightmare.
But how long have the wands
been? A PR nightmare.
Well, the wands have existed
way too long.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's the same problem.
I mean. But maybe there's a half step for the PlayStation VR headset.
Half steps are a nightmare. The HTC Vive Pro did not sell well enough. Oculus have already confirmed that the Rift 2, in whatever shape or form it did exist, has been cancelled and that guy left.
VR is
a shambles.
Yeah. All right, well, let's move on.
I'm not backing down on this.
Next week we can talk about VR a little bit more because there is an in-depth discussion to have there. Let's have one more question, right?
Yeah, let's
do it. And on a bit of a fun note and a little bit of a good one. Good old Matt Tawi, again, second time in a row.
Big up Matt Tawi.
Again, Matt Tawi was the first person to pledge to our Patreon, so we love you, Matt. He wants to know, when is your next trip to the US and can I get a hug? I assume that the one follows after the other.
Yes, we would have to if he's based in the US. If he's not based in the US, I don't know why he wants us to go there and then
hug
him. Surely E3.
We hope so, right?
We hope so, We managed it this year.
Yeah.
Well, you guys managed it.
We did.
I was at home.
You had other things to tend to.
For good reason. But yeah, I would assume we'd like to go back to E3 next year. What E3 is going to be next year, we don't know.
Yeah.
So it might not be worth us going. But
it's still cool, though. You still want to be in LA. Cool.
We'll just do a podcast from LA.
Yeah, that atmosphere. That would be so awesome. Imagine if this podcast like takes off. Takes off, boys. It's going to happen.
Come on, get it, share it.
And then you know what, Matt?
Yes,
trending. You are more than happy to come to whatever city we are visiting. Hopefully we visit your city anyway.
Group hug.
And a bit of a group hug from good old Mr. Jones.
Well, all of us, we'll all give you a big hug.
Yes.
I'd like that. I'd like to go back to America too. I'd love to be at E3 next
year.
Hell,
yes.
Taco Bell.
All right, guys.
I'm coming to get you.
Before we start, moving on from the comments section, which always We spend way too much time on it, but there's a lot to talk about.
Because we care about the fans, Chris.
So listen, I thought, just to wrap things up, I thought it would be good to go back to that Mortal Kombat 11 reveal at the Game Awards, okay?
Okay.
Because it was pretty cool, okay? So you had Ed Boon there. What was he presenting? What was the award? It was
Best Sports or Racing Game, I believe.
Yeah. Did you watch it, Jonesy?
I didn't see it, no.
It's a great reveal. Go on, Jamie, give us a...
He had too much spare time on his hands doing nothing.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Architraving his fucking...
Door frames. I'll help you. There you go.
DIY. I know my shit.
DIY.
All right. Yeah. Go on, Jamie. Give us the scene.
So essentially, Ed Boon took to the stage, and in a moment that perfectly summed up what the Game Awards have become, he pretended that he was about to announce the award for the best sports/racing game, which, by the way, ultimately went to Forza Horizon 4, only for the screen behind him to shatter and then transition into the reveal trailer for the game we've already discussed today, Mortal Kombat 11.
Oh, yeah.
We saw an evil Demon Raiden? I don't know
evil
what.
Raiden,
evil
I'd
Raiden.
Evil Raiden. Yeah, yeah.
Fighting Scorpion. And, of course, it was as brutal and as violent and as gory as you'd expect. There were what looked like they could be fatalities on display.
Yeah.
And
weapons. Loads of weapons around the ground. And I speculate that weapons would be strewn across the battlefield and you pick them up and you'd smash each other up with them.
Well, that would be an interesting move. Watch out, Soul Calibur. There's another weapon-based fighter
they've
on
got
the market.
To be. Given the way that they were incorporated in that trailer, they've got to be, right?
Yeah,
but
yeah,
we haven't touched on the biggest talking point of the trailer.
Oh, yes.
Which is...
This is why I wanted to bring it up.
A big appearance.
Yeah.
From 21 Savage.
Oh, man. This was so weird. The song that they were playing.
Yeah.
Jonesy watched this earlier and didn't flinch.
No, I didn't. I don't know why that's a big thing. You guys
did you
are
not
excited.
Notice how out of place that song sounded
it's,
in the middle
you know
of that
what?
Trailer?
It didn't sound that out of place from the amount of crap trailers that I've seen.
Yeah,
you know.
Fair enough. Well, look,
you guys seem really out of place by it, but
it's
I was
just
like,
so,
standard.
It's just such a weird
typical.
Choice. Like, I was saying, Jamie, like, I thought for a hot second, more than a hot second, actually, that I had another fucking tab open, just like auto-playing some fucking 21 Savage while I'm trying to watch this trailer. I'm like, and I'm going through my tabs, my like 55 tabs that are open, like the porn, no, okay, the Amazon shopping list, no, okay, Spotify, oh, it's not Spotify, okay, boom, boom, boom. And it's like, no, it's actually coming from the trailer. It was so weird.
What was great when I saw the trailer was Jamie's reaction to my not reacting when the song came on.
I was watching him like, 21 Savage is about to start. I was like, I want to see his eyebrows raise.
Yeah.
Do you know, it did stand out.
Did you not
out?
Think that he's just far too unenthusiastic to hold a trailer like that?
Yeah, it didn't he's fit. Like, it was so like opposite.
It was like a cheap, it sounded like a cheap track they'd got, like they put together.
The
hottest.
That's all he does.
Listen, the hottest take from the comments when we did our level up kind of thing about Mortal Kombat was said, who is the SoundCloud rapper? I was like, yeah, that's perfect.
It's what it sounds like. Yeah. I don't. It's it like, wasn't hey, unexpected. Hey. Personally, I didn't think it was that weird.
No, it's bizarre.
It wasn't great. It wasn't good. But I'm saying it wasn't
in
that
fact,
unexpected.
Tapping back to Big Witch's question earlier on in the podcast.
Yeah.
That is one of the things that MK might not have going for it. Is its poor attempts to reach out and communicate with the Ute of today.
Yeah, you know what, Jamie? You shared that trailer. It was like a remix of that Mortal Kombat 11 trailer, but with the Mortal Kombat!
The original theme.
Oh, that was quality.
And it worked.
It worked really well.
It was much better. Sorry, 21 Savage.
We're never going to be... we're not going to be talking about that in like 10 years' time, about what a great trailer we've got.
No, exactly.
We're not going to be talking about 21 Savage in 10 years' time either.
Best one I can remember, Godsmack on the Prince of Persia trailer. That was genius.
Any excuse to bring up Godsmack.
Great. That was
tragic. Tragic.
Oh, the Need for Speed 2 Underground. With
soundtrack, yeah.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Oh, Need for Speed Underground 2 is amazing.
Get Low.
Lil Jon, Get Low. What a great...
Lil Jon and the Ying Yang Twins, or whatever they were called.
Yeah.
Goodness
These
gracious.
Games were doing it right.
The Snoop Dogg version of Riders on the Storm?
Yes. And of course, when Snoop Dogg actually made a full-on song for Gran Turismo... Cleverly named Dogs Turismo. Look that one up.
National treasure.
Yep.
All right, guys. Well, I think that's about all we've got time for in today's episode. I want to thank you, the listeners / viewers, because, you know, it's on YouTube first. We had a bit of issue getting our podcast on the various platforms, but hopefully by the time this goes up, it'll all be sorted out.
On the big one.
It might even have a name.
Yeah, we need to come up with a name as well, not just keep it as the ATG podcast.
Oh, we should throw it out to the viewers / listeners.
Yeah, if you've got some suggestions, pop them in our inboxes and let us know. But again, guys, I just want to say, you know, you can speak to us on Twitter and Instagram at All Time Gaming TV. We're also on Facebook as All Time Gaming Official.
Official.
And with that, guys, you know, like, any comments or feedback, or if you want us, you know, you've got any hot tips for news or questions for the comment section, do let us know. And you know what? We would really appreciate a 5-star rating, because as I've said before, this is a 5-star podcast.
If your rating system is out of 5, otherwise give it 10. Because if it's out of 10,
that one,
don't stitch us up.
If there's a subscribe button, click it.
I'm just going to say, give it your honest score. Give it what you honestly think.
Yeah, but make a 5. All right, guys, then with that, thank you so much for listening, and we're out of here.
See ya.
See ya.
Bye.